thank you for your faithfulness and your prayers, church. So let's pick it up again from the scriptures. Again, always want to prime our hearts with the Word of God, before the Lord's table. But title of this afternoon's message, Beware Leaven in Our Meal. Beware Leaven in Our Meal. Of course, kind of a play on words there. In the scriptures, it's speaking about like the oatmeal or bran meal, but really any meal, but in our life, really. The meal meaning our life. Leaven, in this context here, I'm kind of really looking at it as a negative, as a subtle sin, as a secret sin. And it kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been praying about here, with what I just shared, but also as a primer to our heart, leading up to partaking of the Lord's table. So let's go to Matthew 13. Here are the seven parables of the kingdom. And I know there's different ways to interpret this. You know, for today's application, I'm looking at the leaven as sin, as subtle hidden sin that spreads and contaminates like a cancer. And yes, this is speaking about the kingdom of heaven, but I just want to really apply that today in our personal Christian walk. And so let's go to Matthew 13, verse 33, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew 13, verse 33, and again, my heart has been just so heavy since learning about the news. In fact, there was another well-known preacher that I'll share in a little bit here that it came to light just somewhat recently, that for the last 2 years been doing some sinful behavior. And so I'll share that in a bit. But let's go to verse 33 again. It says, "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal to the whole was leaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, for your word, for your grace, for your mercy. But Father, we rejoice evermore that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. At the same time, Father, we're very aware, as Paul was, to those that have made shipwreck. And so, Lord, help us to always be mindful of the great spiritual warfare we are in. Lord, that we always keep close accounts with you, that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we, Lord, that we have close and clean accounts with you, Lord. And so bless now the preaching of your word. Help us, help me not to have leaven in our meal, Lord, and not to take in the doctrine of Balaam, Lord, but to always be guarded against sin and temptation and lust of our own hearts. Help us to be found true. I thank you, Lord, for your faithful saints. What a blessing, Lord. I think of some of these couples. What a blessing, Lord. I praise you for that, and for even some of the saints that are just by themselves. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness, their steadfastness as an example and inspiration to all of us. And so, Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Kind of goes hand in hand as well with last Sunday's message on the doctrine of Balaam, which is really Satan's doctrine, which uses fornication, any fleshly pleasure, to lure us into compromise and ultimately idolatry. Okay, and again, it's just a human nature. You know, if you tempt someone with idolatry right off the bat, they're going to say no. But if you appeal to their lust of their flesh, then it's a compromise of fornication that leads to idolatry. That is the doctrine of Balaam. When we live in obedience to God, his hand is blessing upon us. But when we compromise and sin willingly, essentially we kind of curse ourselves, and incur the judgment of God. And today's message, is also about sin, but specifically compartmentalized sin, if you will, or maybe hidden secret sins that we kind of hide among our good works, maybe like a rotten tomato that you would find, or in this case, it was moldy cucumbers that you would find. At the back of the fridge, among all the other good stuff, but you part the good, and those the other fruits are good, but you part them around, and there's something that's rotten to the core, further back that's out of sight. And as I mentioned, it was last week it came up in camp, there at the Bible camp that a prominent Baptist preacher, Pastor Kenneth Baldwin, he's a kind of a well-known speaker. From Virginia, very heavily involved in teen ministries, and thousands have heard him speak. He's a good preacher, but was recently found out that he was engaging the last 2 years in illicit behavior, sending lewd photos of himself to minors. This was happening the last 2 years now, on and off throughout 2 years. What's so astounding is one of the Bible camp speakers from last week, or was it 2 weeks now? 2 weeks now. So that was Pastor Jason Brennenstahl over by Wildwood. He shared this testimony, and Pastor Brennenstahl was actually 6 months ago able to hear Pastor Kenneth Baldwin preach. And I think he had his teens there or whatever, but he got to go to one of his events, heard him preach 6 months ago, and he was very blessed by the message. He was very blessed by it. It had power, the word of God that was spoken. This was 6 months ago, and then recently they found out for the last 2 years he was in sin. And so kind of got us thinking, you know, how can it be possible that God could still use him, that God still used him. 6 months ago, that message really blessed those that were listening to it. Of course, we know God's word will not return void, so praise God, the powers, it's in the word of God. But it kind of really got me thinking, how is that even possible? Because when we understand this, just as it's possible to still have leaven in our meal, the meal is still good in the sense that it hasn't been fully corrupted by the leaven yet. It takes time for the whole lump to be leavened. We can still be a quote-unquote good Samaritan. You know, I might, if I see someone broken down the side of the road, I honestly might feel like I want to help them. And so I might truly, sincerely pull over and try to help them change the tire and bid them well. I might truly do that, but I'm cheating on my spouse. Or I might be the best employee at work. I might give 110%. I'm sold into the company, and I'm always a team player and going all out. And I want to be a good testimony, and everyone thinks highly of me, commends my testimony at work, but I'm struggling with pornography. So it's very possible for a Christian. Yes, we have good works, but we do have some leaven and some rottenness among the good works, and it hasn't fully spread. I mean, in the end, of course, it would devour. We understand that. But it's possible that in some areas, we probably can all attest that we know some people that are really nice people. They're not jerks. They're nice people. Oh, but by the way, they're committing some sin over here. You know, and so it doesn't mean that you know, if you commit one sin here, that all of a sudden you become a murderous killer. Hopefully not. Okay, but I'm saying that there can be areas where we struggle with. Pastor Brennenstahl, when he shared this example, he used a garden where you can have a garden. And you could have your tomatoes here, you can have your cabbages here, you can have your corn here, and they're good fruit. It's going well. But then off in a off the beaten trail, in a back corner here, you have some weeds growing. And that's where, of course, it spreads, and that's the leaven in our meal. Now the fruit over here is still going well. And so you truly could be a model citizen. You could be a fantastic neighbor. You could be a wonderful worker. You could be a loving dad to your children, but be a cheating spouse on the side. I mean, that's how subtlety of Satan can work. Just because we are truly and we excel in one area does not mean that we are not hypocritical or struggling in another area. And so really, priming up to the Lord's table tonight, you know, is there leaven in our meal? And I thought of an example in the scriptures of Joab. Joab is one of those characters in the Old Testament. You know, he's King David's general, his commander-in-chief, his captain of the host. He's also David's nephew. Okay, so maybe some favoritism there. I don't know. I'm just saying. But he got appointed to be the captain. And when you look at the testimony of Joab in the Bible, I mean, he's got some pretty good moments. He's got some exemplary moments, you know, he has some good tendencies, some good traits, some good works, but he also has some questionable fleshly tendencies, and so you can obviously tell he does have leaven in his meal, okay, some bad weeds in his garden, and Joab was strong in some areas, but weak in others. You know, he harbored bitterness and anger, and he was one of those guys that held a grudge. He held a grudge, and he did a lot of things that were self-serving for his own interests. And so we can be, again, a warning from Joab's example, from some of those examples we've already talked about. We can be sincerely a blessing in some areas and truly have good works in some areas, but at the same time still be struggling or compromising in others. And so just because I'm good over here doesn't automatically mean I'm good over here. Again, just because I'm good on the work front doesn't mean I'm good on the marriage front, etc. And you think of Job's or Joab's good deeds. You know, he was brave, he was an excellent military commander. He won battles for King David. You know, he loved his brothers. In fact, just to share a little snippet here, so this is kind of a testimony of Joab, and then we're going to compare with Paul. Amen. Well, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And, you know, if you're reading the Bible the first time and you come across, like, oh, Joab's kind of an outstanding military leader. I mean, he's kind of a good guy at first. Okay, but let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 10. Go to verse 9. And so here's another battle. He's on a mission for King David, you know. And so look at verse 9, 2 Samuel 10, verse 9. And it says, when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon, children of Amnon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Amnon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. So that was a pretty good plan. And look at verse 12. Look at this. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people. So time to step up. And for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And so, like, yeah, what a... He said, Lord willing. I mean, what a... Hey, I would say that. Hopefully, I would do the same thing. And so, you know, we see his deeds here. And also, you know, he was wise in getting David to forgive Absalom. You know, he employs, I mean, he was subtle, okay, but he used wisdom there to employ this wise woman. And then when, you know, when, and then in fact, when Absalom rebelled against his father to kill King David, of course, we know that that Joab was very instrumental in leading the counterattack. Of course, he ends up killing Absalom against the wishes of David. And then, you know, he was wise after that battle when Absalom was dead. He was wise to actually kind of rebuke David. And remember, he told David, you know, all of us, we laid our life on the line for you, King David, and you're mourning for the enemy. Of course, that's his son, but he was the enemy. And remember how Joab said, no, I kind of get a feeling that all of us died and Absalom was alive. You'd be, hey, that's great. So don't mourn for your son publicly. I mean, you're going to lose your kingdom. I mean, so he had some wisdom. He had some moments and he was there for David. Remember, he strongly rejected when King David wanted to number the people. In fact, let's go to chapter 24, same 2 Samuel, but go to chapter 24 with me. And so I share all this because, of course, we know where we're going. We're going to see some of his leaven in his meal. Some of his struggles, but let's go to 2 Samuel 24. Let's go to verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, north to south, and number ye the people that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, and hundredfold. And that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? And so, like, why do you want to do that? I mean, God's got us. We're not supposed to number the people. Don't do that. Notwithstanding the king's word prevail against Joab. I mean, David is the king, and David pulled rank on him, so he does comply. And against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Of course, we know this is a grave sin, and David, you know, pays the price for that, incurs God's wrath. And so, again, we see some of these, you know, pretty commendable actions of Joab. So he had some things going on that's well. However, we also see some of his struggles, and we don't have to turn to those accounts. But, you know, he murders Abner to avenge Asahel, that's his brother, during a time of truce when Asahel was actually killed by Abner during battle. So it's kind of fair and square that they knew what they were getting into. Joab murders Amasa, who was when David appointed him as his commander, and so he was really jealous, and so he murders Amasa under the pretense of friendship because of jealousy. Which, by the way, Amasa is also his cousin. Boy, that gets very personal. And so Joab and Amasa were cousins. Both their moms were sisters. Okay, so they're first cousins, and then. Of course, we know the story that towards the end of David's reign, when he was going to go to Solomon, Joab does a 180 from David, and he goes to join Adonijah. He partners up with Adonijah. That's who he cast his lot in. Of course, he held grudges. He was very bitter. He had anger issues, okay? And he looked out for number one himself. And then, of course, he gets what's coming to him at the end when he's killed in judgment by Benaiah under King Solomon's request, because he had committed treason. He teamed up against Adonijah, who was anti-Solomon, and Solomon sent Benaiah to dispatch and kill him. And then if you observe David's mighty men, and so these are David's Navy SEAL Team 6, right? If you go to 2 Samuel, well, right there, but chapter 23, these are the names of David's mighty men, his special Delta Force team of soldiers. If you go to verse 18 of chapter 23, you notice here, verse 18 says, "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah," that's their mom, David's sister, "was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three." And so Abishai is in there. He's one of David's mighty men, honorable men. And then go to verse 24, Asahel, who was killed by Abner. The brother of Joab, so both of his brothers got in, was one of the 30, and so that's a tremendous testimony. So Joab's both brothers are in that list of David's mighty, valiant men, honorable men, but Joab is not. He doesn't make the cut, because he's always been kind of a loose cannon, okay, for a wild cannon for David. In fact, if you go to verse 37, even Joab's armor bearer makes the cut, but not Joab. And so Zelek the Ammonite, but then here he is here, Naharai, the Berotite, armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah. So even Joab's armor bearer is one of David's mighty men. His two brothers are two of David's mighty men, but not Joab. He doesn't make the cut. Bottom line, Joab had leaven in his meal. Do I have leaven in my meal? Do you have leaven in your meal? Purge it out. Of course, this is 1 Corinthians 5, it speaks about church discipline, but it does church, the church, our people. Okay, the people together make the church. And so may we, as the church here, was tasked by Paul to purge out the unrepentant member. May we, in our own personal lives, purge out the sin, purge out that leaven, purge out those weeds. Don't let it linger. And may I not kid myself that just because I have some good fruit in my life, it means that there's no bad fruit. Because it certainly can happen. We need to continually purge whatever comes up. Okay, weeds, roots of bitterness. But let's go to 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5. And then verse 7 says, right here. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Of course, we always precede the participation in the Lord's table with the most solemn self-examination. We'll do that in a little bit here. But what a blessing to keep close accounts with God. And to be honest, I don't know how that. It's just the long-suffering of God. We see in the Corinthian church that some were getting sick, some were dying. And I think of this pastor that was kind of exposed here for the last 2 years. God is so long-suffering. God could have killed him. I'm assuming during those 2 years he would partake in the Lord's table, right? Probably officiated it. It's by God's grace. But that's just a reminder that the wickedness of the human heart is exceeding great. Let's go to 2 Timothy. This is Paul's testimony. And it's not to put Paul on the pedestal. It's to praise God for working in Paul. And this is, of course, God gets the glory from this. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So unlike Joab, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then verse 10, the Word of God says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Whew, what a testimony. Can I share with you out of that list? When Paul says, my doctrine, sometimes doctrine is, if you're an intellectual, if you're a theologian, if you're a scholar, the doctrine's the easy part, because that's just knowing the truth. Living the truth and manner of life that's consistent with the doctrine that you know. Your purpose, you're not pleasing flesh or self or lust, you're pleasing God. Faith, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Long-suffering, charity, patience. Praise God that this is an all-inclusive list. There is no, now, we're not talking sinless perfection, okay? So we're all sinners saved by grace. But there is no leaven in his meal. What a blessing. Not just the doctrine that's right, because we can know many doctrinally sound preachers who are living in sin and are compromised. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11, persecutions, and this all comes as a result of being faithful to God. Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 139. We'll wrap it up here. Psalm 139. No wonder the words of a man after God's own heart, King David, says in verse 23, Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. What a confession. Now, of course, God already knows our heart. But David, in this confession, he's saying, I don't want to hide it. I don't want to fake it. Lord, just here I am. Search me and try me. In other words, even if it takes suffering, even if it takes, you know, Lord, you turning up the heat, get that leaven purge it out of me, Lord. Take it from me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That, of course, is walking in the Spirit. What a thought. Is there leaven in my meal? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a gracious God you are, Lord. Lord, you know all our hearts, yet here we are. And so, Father, best as we know how, let us always keep short, close, clean accounts with you, Lord. And we confess we are sinful, Lord, and we have our own hang-ups, Lord, our own struggles, Lord. But help us to purge that leaven from our meal. Help us, Lord, not to have weeds in our garden. Help us, Lord, to not to be deceived. Lord, and to repent, be swift to hear, and quick to repent, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for this open avenue that we can come to you at our heart's desire as the Spirit of God speaks to heart, Lord. Help us to do business with you. We thank you for the great salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for 1 John 1:9, that, Father, we do confess our sins, and, Father, that you are always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so, Lord, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless, Lord, the Lord's table to come, and this, and as we praise you in song, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing the song.